WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. There is an arrest in the murder of an Arkansas couple out hiking with their young daughters. Arkansas State Police Colonel Mike Hager says 28-year-old Andrew McGann was picked up while getting a haircut.
We were able to take a monster off the streets and bring relief to Clinton and Kristen's precious girls.
Police still have not revealed how the couple died or a possible motive. Their girls, ages 7 and 9, are now with relatives and were not hurt. The reason they tell you to keep your seatbelt on even when there's no turbulence. Sometimes turbulence can suddenly appear, as in the case of a Delta flight headed from Salt Lake City to Amsterdam. Leanne Clement Nash says those not strapped in hit the ceiling, as did the serving carts.
People were injured, and it happened several times, so it was really scary.
The plane had to land in Minneapolis, at least 25 people sent to the hospital. Russia attacking Kyiv with missiles and drones, at least 7 people killed in Ukraine, dozens more injured. This is ABC News. More countries are now talking about formally recognizing a Palestinian state unless Israel does more to end the starvation in Gaza. Both Canada and Malta now say they are on track to recognize a Palestinian state in September. That follows similar promises from France and Great Britain. ABC's Ian Pannell.
Over the last 24 hours, at least 7 people have died due to malnutrition. A sea of Palestinians carrying aid as more humanitarian assistance is airdropped. Lining up for aid, often chaotic and deadly. At least 37 people killed and 270 injured, attempting to get food. The desperation is acute. Crowds rushing to the water's edge to retrieve airdropped aid. Others frantically crowding just for a ladle full of soup.
Sale at JCPenney, 119 of the retailer's locations being sold to a private equity firm for nearly $1 billion. The buyer not saying anything yet about what will happen to the stores. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The John and Gordy Show.
Beef has always
been expensive. I've never been able to buy beef. Never.
The last couple of years.
Just ground beef, maybe. That's it. And every once in a while, I promise my kids, who are Gen Zers, that one day they will taste beef. I'll treat them to some beef one of these days. Yeah,
once a year, you bring out the grill and get some hamburgers going.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul Vandenplas,
the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Packers back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay at the Packers training camp, where the defense has set a goal to force more turnovers. When the Packers recover at least one fumble, they've won 30 of their last 38 games. Baseball. The Brewers head to Washington to face the Nationals tomorrow night. The Brewers got blitzed by the Cubs 10-3. Chicago All-Star Pete Crow Armstrong once dyed his hair blue at the start of spring training yesterday. He was 3-of-4 with 2 doubles, scored a pair of runs, and 1 RBI, including a hot grounder that got past second baseman Bryce Terang, Pat Murphy.
I mean, that kid, the blue-haired kid, hits the ball really hard, and it was hit really hard. I've seen Bryce make great plays. I don't know if he could make that one. He's been the best defender in the game, and now every time he doesn't make a play or everything, you know, it's like, he's human. But the blue-haired kid was, we had him down 2 strikes most of the time, and then he just, you know, did a good job of putting it in play after that.
That's the Brewers manager, Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 70s here this afternoon, although we may have a little of that hazy smoke from Canadian wildfires today. Tonight, we'll drop into the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
Maggie Dawn.
In a special edition, former White House ethics attorney Richard Painter joins us to break down how digital currency could undermine democracy. Don't miss this important conversation.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Todd Albaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who considers a silver medal a participation award, Pete Schwabba.
It's true. I got no room for second place, ladies and gentlemen, even though I've never been there myself. Hey, it's Pete Schwabba. Welcome back to Nightlight. We are back for Act 2. We had a great discussion, Hour 1, about movies with Matt Miller. The theme of tonight's show, folks, is movies, music, and mustard. I don't think this has ever been done before in the history of radio where someone has chosen to speak about such a variety of topics. But we're doing it here tonight on Nightlight where we make radio history biannually. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night. We talked about in the first hour how Conrad does not like soup unless it's broccoli cheese, which I find to be the most disgusting soup. So we're on the opposite ends of the spectrum there. And we will have a soup-related question tomorrow, folks. You are welcome to suggest one if you like, but this has to be addressed. Nobody does not like soup. Blanket statement, just kind of a blanket rejection of soup overall. But our question of the night is, what is a vegetable that you hated as a kid or fruit that you like now? I said avocado. Conrad said broccoli. A lot of people have said broccoli. We'll play catch up on your text in just a few minutes after we speak with our next guest, Kim, who is going to talk Mile of Music. We did the movie part. Now we're going to do the music part, and then we do the mustard part with Barry Levinson from the National Mustard Museum in Middleton, Wisconsin, as National Mustard Day is just around the corner. Only 2 more shopping days, Conrad, till National Mustard Day. Did you know that?
Yeah. So I need to get more honey mustard.
Get those cherry honey mustard. Is that what it was?
Yeah, and it's phenomenal.
And we also talked with Matt about Naked Gun, which we're both hearing amazing things about as we welcome comedy back into theaters on the big screen. That's going to be exciting. And my pick of the week, classic movie pick, is Jaws. They're re-releasing that too.
And that's Sharknado.
That movie totally holds up. Sharknado.
It's better than Jaws.
It's a fine piece of cinematic art, but it's no Jaws. All right, let's keep this train moving here. It is my pleasure to welcome our next guest. She is the social media coordinator for the Mile of Music Festival in Appleton. She's a very busy person, but she's taking a few minutes out of her busy schedule here to talk to us at Nightlight. Please join me in welcoming Kim Mothy. Hi, Kim.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Did I get the last name right?
You did, yes. I appreciate you asking, for sure.
All right. Sometimes, even with phonetic help, I still just am a spaz, and I don't get people's names right. So my last name is Schwabba, which people massacre all the time. So
I just got married about a year ago, and my maiden name was Willems, and so I'd always get Williams. And then when I got married, my husband was like, oh, it's still going to happen, and it does happen sometimes.
It's just you, when you add up all the time spent in your life explaining your name, spelling your name, it gets costly at a certain point. Do you have a vegetable, Kim, you didn't like as a kid that you like now?
You know, I was thinking about that as you said that. I've always actually enjoyed vegetables. I feel like I was kind of a weird kid that way, but I definitely enjoy like broccoli more now than I did as a kid.
Okay, that's good. That's kind of like our
that's
consensus.
A standard one.
Yeah, that is a standard one. But what about soup? I love soup. Yeah, I'm soup shaming Conrad tonight because I just don't believe his dislike of soup. Are you a soup fan?
I'm a huge soup fan.
Okay,
and if any of my friends are watching, they will love that you asked me that question.
Why is that?
I don't know. I always I like soup any time of year,
okay,
in the winter, in the summer. I don't know. Just they kind of make fun of me for it.
I'm with you. You're like the anti-Conrad, but he doesn't mind that. That's okay. All right. So before we get into Mile of Music, tell us a little bit about your background, Kim. Let's get to know Kim.
Yeah. So my background with Mile of Music, I went to school for public relations and advertising. My dad, Dave Willems, is the co-founder of Mile of Music. So it's
kind of
like a car ride home from college situation. And he's like, hey, I think we're going to be starting this music festival. Would you be interested? I had a serving job in the summer at the time up in Appleton. And I was like, yeah, you know, I could help with that. And now I'm here. And it's kind of funny because my dad has had his marketing firm pretty much my whole life. And I never wanted to go into marketing. My mom also worked in PR, so I pretty much actively avoided the inevitable. And then, you know, went to college, figured out that it was something that I enjoyed doing, and now I'm here. So,
well, that's exciting. You're the social media coordinator, so
yep.
I would imagine you know the festival, the ins and outs, nuts and bolts. Tell us about, for people who haven't been there, tell us about the Mile of Music.
Yeah, so we're starting tomorrow, July 31st through August 3rd. So it's a four-day all-original music festival that takes place in downtown Appleton. We have events in the coffee shops, bars, restaurants, parks, probably a bunch of other areas I'm forgetting. But really, really great. We have 35 venues. We also have a music education team. And our big focus is on original music. So none of us are against cover bands, but just every event has their own thing, unique thing. And our thing is that we focus on original music. And I think the artists really appreciate that. We have 200 artists coming this year, which is really exciting.
I'm looking at this flyer, pamphlet, whatever you want to call it. Folks, if you want more information on who is playing, go to, I think it's just mileofmusic.com, right, Kim?
Yep.
Yeah, and there's an artist sheet, and there you're right. Somehow you guys fit 200 bands on this. It's like almost hard to read, but it's so impressive that there are this many bands just right down the street here in Appleton. What are your favorite venues? Or if people haven't, let's do this. If people haven't been there before, where should they start? Because it's kind of overwhelming.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's something that I definitely empathize with. Obviously, I know a lot about the festival, but I would probably be overwhelmed by all the information, too. We do have an app as well, which is a great tool for mapping out your schedule, seeing any schedule changes, things like that. The app is just great to have during the festival. So I would recommend, we have a couple of areas where there are multiple venues in that one particular area. So like Lawrence University, for example, they have three venues right on campus. So if you're not interested in like, you know, walking a lot, walking up and down the street, trying to beat the walking crowds, that's a great spot where you could get an entire festival experience just in those three venues. And that's also, there's the music education piece on top of that. That's also primarily on the Lawrence campus as well. Another example of that would be the Hilton Hotel right downtown. They actually have five venues there year. So you get the full band, you get the full band outside, which I think will be very popular this weekend. And then we also have three listening room locations in that hotel as well.
My guest is Kim Mothy. She is the social media coordinator for Mile of Music in Appleton. It starts July 31st. That's tomorrow, folks.
Yes.
And goes through August 3rd. 700 music sets, 200 artists, 40 venues. Where do these bands come from, Kim? Are they all Wisconsin? Are they from all over?
That's a great question. About 45% of our lineup this year is Wisconsin-based artists. Probably a little closer to 50 if you add in artists who used to live here and now moved to Nashville or LA or where have you. But so we're very proud of that because we do have a lot of great homegrown talent here in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But we also have artists that come from, I think it's 25 different states this year, well as we have one from Australia, one from the UK, and one from Canada as well.
That's great. And what would you say in terms of music genre? You mentioned Nashville, you mentioned LA. Is it mostly rock, country? Is it bluegrass? Kind of a nice mix? What do you have? What do you feature the most?
It's definitely a mix. I think in the past, you know, we definitely branded ourselves more as Americana, but we're kind of branching out from that a little bit. Americana is a huge umbrella too, so there's a lot of genres that fall under that. We do ask the artists to define their own genre, so we get some kind of funky submissions in that regard. But you know, we have artists that are country, we have folk, we have rock, we have kind of more punk band this year. So definitely a variety. If you go on our app too, you can look at all of the genres that were submitted as well.
Conrad actually is a musician. I don't know if it's too late to add him, but he's got a new song. It's called I Hate Soup. I don't know if...
Just came.
No, he can't come in then if he doesn't like soup.
Well, no anti-soup musicians. Are you a musician, Kim?
I am not. That's actually a question I get a lot. I did the whole like piano lessons, band, orchestra, like all of that. But no, my side of things is more the community aspect and of course the PR side too.
Well, that's pretty cool. Just a couple more things here. Is there a charge? Like, do you pay just to get into the whole festival? Is it per venue? How does that work?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. So it's an entirely free festival.
Nice.
We've started saying it's free to attend, but it's not free to produce. So our nonprofit, Appleton Community Music, will be out asking for donations for the weekend or during the weekend. They are looking to raise $100,000 at the festival, which is a high goal, but we're hopeful that, you know, people will see the value in what we're doing and support. Appleton Community Music focuses on fundraising to bring the artists here, which is obviously a huge piece of our festival. We need artists in order to have a festival. So, and then we also have Willems Marketing and Events, which is the company that runs the festival. We also fundraise for production and a lot of the other things that go into putting on a festival, logistics with the city, things like that. So we have corporate sponsors, individual sponsors and donors that help put this thing on. And we're hoping to keep it free and accessible to the community as long as we can.
Very exciting. Well, I wish you luck. It looks like you're going to have great weather.
Yes.
Do me a favor and tell our pal Abby Novak, we don't even mind that she passed this off to you, but tell her it's great to meet you. Thank you for your time. Tell Abby we said hello. And
I will.
Have a great festival. I hope it's a big success. I'm sure it will be.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Have a great night, Kim.
You too.
Okay, that's Kim Mothy. Check out Mile of Music this weekend. It starts tomorrow and goes through August 3rd. And it's right here in Northeast Wisconsin, folks. So see what we're doing here, Conrad? We're covering the entire state. We are on statewide. We had Matt Miller repping Milwaukee, talking movies. Yep. We have Kim repping Northeast Wisconsin and Appleton, talking music. And now we are about to welcome, well, in a few minutes anyway, our new friend, Barry Levinson, the curator for the National Mustard Museum in Middleton, Wisconsin. I bet you didn't know that's where the National Mustard Museum was.
I would have never guessed that it's in Madison.
It's good. I can't wait. I'm actually excited to talk mustard. But we have a few things to do before Barry gets here. So we're going to catch up on some texts when we come back. And soup question. We're thinking about it. Conrad hates soup. We need a soup question tomorrow.
Anytime you talk about soup, it just pulses me.
You're going to go vomit during the break. All right, we're coming right back. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can do it by love. Let you know, girl, you're looking good.
a new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. The federal Eighth Circuit Court appears intent to block redistricting and voting rights cases by individuals and advocacy groups. July 29th, the Eighth Circuit issued another finding that individuals and groups can't sue using the Voting Rights Act. This is the third such negative ruling on the private right of action, but for the moment, it still only applies to the seven states in the Eighth Circuit: Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota. In a 2023 Arkansas case, an Eighth Circuit panel ignored decades of settled law and found that the Arkansas Conference of the NAACP and the voters it represented did not have standing to bring a complaint under the VRA Section 2. Instead, it gave the U.S. Justice Department the sole authority to bring Voting Rights Act complaints. Legal scholars deemed it a fringe ruling because, historically, 90% of voting rights cases are brought by individuals and advocacy groups. The July 29th decision involved a challenge by an Arkansas group which assists new citizens with voting. An Arkansas voter suppression law barred the group from helping more than six citizens, though the Voting Rights Act, Section 208, allows such assistance. If appealed, it's unclear whether the U.S. Supreme Court will stand on precedent or back the Eighth Circuit's crusade against voting rights. We've linked to the decision at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Diaz.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. We are talking with some really fun guests tonight. Matt Miller talked movies. Kim Mothy talked Mile of Music. And we're going to have a great conversation about mustard coming up in just a few minutes, folks, at 7:35. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me. We've got our question of the night is, what is a fruit or vegetable you hated as a kid but you like now? I said avocado. Conrad said broccoli. Conrad's mom, I already read your mom's, right? She likes mushrooms.
I used to love mushrooms. I used to hate mushrooms.
Yeah.
But now?
Can't get enough of them.
Exactly.
Dave on the stream said, Conrad, search the band that played Saturday at the Memorial Terrace. That's what needs to be Terry's Bar Band. Okay, so I think we missed a text in there from Dave because I didn't know what he's referring to, but that makes sense. So we can ask Terry about that. Look at Dave giving you stuff to do, Conrad. How do you feel about that? I don't know Dave well, but I'm pretty sure you could take him if he gets any more mouthy.
So it'll be Dave and Chris versus you and I.
That's what we do here on Nightlight. We line up fights for ourselves. It's a lot of fun. I don't know Dave well, but I like your chances against Dave more than mine against Chris.
We'll see. Chris might be able to take both of us at once.
You don't know, though. What if Chris is just a big sweetie and wants nothing to do with it?
I think he is.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'll keep telling myself that. So let's go to the text line. We heard from Ali. Where are my texts here? I got to catch up here. Okay. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, in the movie The Exorcist, Linda Blair made pea soup look good. I don't like canned peas and never will. I don't like canned peas either, but... And I know he's being sarcastic, but that is absolutely terrible. Did you ever see The Exorcist?
I don't watch any horror movies.
It's just, it's so horrible.
Oh, you know what I did watch over the weekend, though?
Hmm.
Paul Rudd and Jenna Ortega movie, To Kill a Unicorn or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah. How is that?
It was so weird.
Weird, yeah. It looked really, I didn't really want to see it when I saw that.
You know, it's like when they killed the unicorn, Jenna touched the staff of the unicorn.
Okay.
And like she went into another dimension.
What?
You got to watch it to see, you know, to see how crazy it is.
Yeah, that doesn't really do it for me. John Murray from the 608, he's in Madison, says, Pete, Dad made me sit until I ate them. After an hour, oh, his was peas, I think, right? I think of,
yeah.
John, yeah, okay. Dad made me sit until I ate them. After an hour, me being stubborn, he shoveled me a bite and I immediately vomited on his arm and lap. He pulled an exorcist, John did. That's terrible, John. He says, can eat them now if I have to. I assume without vomiting, he says, isn't often. Well, you're an adult now, John. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do, especially when it comes to the edibles. Edible foods, that is. Conrad's dad, checking in from Florida, says, for the record, I love all kinds of soups. He is totally throwing you under the bus, my friend. He says, as a kid, I didn't like yams or sweet potatoes, but now love. Yeah, I'm with you on that one too, Steve. They are healthier than potatoes. They are healthier, and they taste good, too. I was scared of sweet potatoes as a kid. You know, your dad and I probably need to pal around because we agree quite a bit on text.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's that orange look that kind of scared me
weird.
About it. I like sweet potatoes, too, now, though.
But I like oranges, so I don't understand that. But John says he was 10 when he vomited on his dad's arm, so that's good. Thank you, John, for those visuals and for being part of the show. Jim from Brookfield says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Never liked canned peas as a kid. However, I liked cooked or frozen peas. I like cooked or frozen peas now. My wife also makes a pea mash. That's very good. That sounds really unappetizing, I have to say. I don't know if I'd like peas if they were mashed up. I like them now, especially with like mashed potatoes on Thanksgiving. If they were mashed up, I don't know if I could do that. Paul from Bayview, he's in the 414, says, radishes, hated as a kid, now slices on a salad, perfect. Yeah, I'm with you, Paul. I like radishes. And those are something I learned to like as well. AJ from the 608 says, happy Wednesday, Pete and Conrad. I honestly still dislike all fruits and vegetables today that I did as a kid. No evolution there for AJ. She says, including bananas, green grapes, and eggplant. I'll try them every now and again, and they're still nasty. Wow, bananas.
You know, have you ever tried a deep fried eggplant?
I don't think so, and I'm not a huge fan of eggplant. And we've
it's
talked
dynamite.
About that.
Yeah. It's dynamite.
Yeah, I'd be up for that. A little crispy, something would help. I don't like the consistency of it. But great text. Dave is not taking the bait for the fight. Conrad and Dave, we're going to fight. Dave has called it off more or less, as he's a lover, not a fighter.
Now we can just talk over a bowl of soup.
Well, he can. Unless yours is cheese broccoli. Yeah. All right. I think Dave has a great message there tonight. Love, don't fight. So I want to talk. I'm excited to see The Naked Gun. I might have to go see that. I still haven't seen Friendship, speaking of comedies, the Paul Rudd film Friendship. And I do want to see The Naked Gun. But I will say, and I talked about this with Lisa Hale today, check out New Wisco Weekend, folks, if you haven't. It's on this weekend. You have two opportunities to catch this great news magazine show that focuses here on Northeast Wisconsin. Lisa does a great job. I sent her, or she said she saw something in my beats. I think I did a Pete's pick for Dexter, and she hit me back right away with a message. She's like, please have me on to talk about Dexter. I love Dexter. I've watched the entire show multiple times. Lisa might have some shallow graves in her backyard.
She might.
She's a blast, though. But check out New Wisco Weekend. My pick this weekend will be Jaws because it will be re-released. And the theme is summertime, so I went with Jaws. What did you – you got something on
I don't got something this week.
No? What happened, man?
Just vacation stuff, you know, kind of line up stuff.
Catching up with you. Okay. All right, when we come back, folks, we are we've already talked music. We've already talked movies. It's time for Mustard. That's a great slogan for the National Mustard Museum.
It's time for mustard.
I'm gonna run that by Barry when he joins us here. After the news, that's coming up next. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's progress we have found.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. There is an arrest in the murder of an Arkansas couple out hiking with their young daughters. Arkansas State Police Colonel Mike Hager says 28-year-old Andrew McGann was picked up while getting a haircut.
We were able to take a monster off the streets and bring relief to Clinton and Kristen's precious girls.
Police still have not revealed how the couple died or a possible motive. Their girls, ages 7 and 9, are now with relatives and were not hurt. The reason they tell you to keep your seatbelt on even when there's no turbulence. Sometimes turbulence can suddenly appear, as in the case of a Delta flight headed from Salt Lake City to Amsterdam. Leanne Clement Nash says those not strapped in hit the ceiling, as did the serving carts.
People were injured, and it happened several times, so it was really scary.
The plane had to land in Minneapolis, at least 25 people sent to the hospital. Russia attacking Kyiv with missiles and drones, at least 7 people killed in Ukraine, dozens more injured. This is ABC News.
Packers back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay at the Packers training camp, where the defense has set a goal to force more turnovers. When the Packers recover at least one fumble, they've won 30 of their last 38 games. Baseball. The Brewers head to Washington to face the Nationals tomorrow night. The Brewers got blitzed by the Cubs 10-3. Chicago All-Star Pete Crow Armstrong once dyed his hair blue at the start of spring training yesterday. He was 3-of-4 with 2 doubles, scored a pair of runs, and 1 RBI, including a hot grounder that got past second baseman Bryce Terang, Pat Murphy.
I mean, that kid, the blue-haired kid, hits the ball really hard, and it was hit really hard. I've seen Bryce make great plays. I don't know if he could make that one. He's been the best defender in the game, and now every time he doesn't make a play or everything, you know, it's like, he's human. But the blue-haired kid was, we had him down 2 strikes most of the time, and then he just, you know, did a good job of putting it in play after that.
That's the Brewers manager, Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're an actor and only interested in kissing your wife on screen, well, it would help if she's an actress, and a good one. Otherwise, you might miss out on some jobs. Sex and the City and Yellowstone actor Neil McDonough refuses to kiss any woman who is not his wife, even for big bucks. He says sticking to his principles has cost him work and that show business turned on him for a while. The Suits actor says he was fired from a shoot for refusing to do an intimate scene, and after that, he felt like less of a man in terms of who he was, his livelihood, and says he lost his acting swagger. He also says he started to drink. He did, however, eventually make a comeback despite his contractual stipulations. Producer Graham Yost did Neil a solid and cast him in Justified. McDonough told the Nothing Left Unsaid podcast that his wife doesn't even have an issue with him not doing those type of scenes. It's just that he doesn't want to kiss other women. There is something so sweet and yet so strange about that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 70s here this afternoon, although we may have a little of that hazy smoke from Canadian wildfires today. Tonight we'll drop into the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
The John and Gordy Show.
I'm damn awful tired of dealing with flat forks. Who made flat forks in the first place? They could have cupped it just a little bit, right? No one likes forks. Am I the only one?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's a Civic Media All-Star Show as sports director Jimmy Cuska joins me to make the popcorn pick of the week. And then Matt and Aaron Ayers, Greg Bach joins the show to talk comedy and movies.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. I already forgot my great mustard quote. I can't find it. Is it why not mustard? Something like that. Oh, my God. All right. Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. Falling apart here after what's been an amazing show. I am Pete Schwabba. It is so great to have you with me on this Wednesday talking about all the things in life that we love. We've covered movies. We've covered music. We are about to jump into the third natural progression from both of those subjects, mustard. The National Mustard Museum is here in Wisconsin, if you didn't know that, in the town of Middleton, and they have the largest collection of mustards in the world. Joining me now to discuss this delicious condiment is the curator of All Things Mustard Museum, Barry Levinson. Hey, Barry.
Hey, Pete.
How are you?
Good. Just great.
This is so, I love finding guests like you because you have such a specialized interest and career. It's just, and your museum is so cool. I just kind of stumbled in there after having breakfast in Middleton last Saturday. It's such a great place. Let's start. How did you end up in the mustard game? How do you get to be a museum curator, this really cool gig?
Okay. I used to be a lawyer, so don't hold that against me. And in 1986, my beloved Red Sox lost the World Series.
Oh, dear.
To the Mets. And
I remember.
I was just devastated. So I was so depressed. I couldn't sleep. So I went to an all-night supermarket just to cry away my tears.
Yeah.
And when I went down the condiment aisle, I heard this voice coming from the mustards. If you collect us, they will come. They have.
Oh, that's fantastic. And first of all, my condolences, because I think everybody in 1986, I remember exactly where I was. That was the ball that went through Bill Buckner's legs, right?
Yeah, was game six, and then they lost game seven.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was at a bar called Hamilton's in Chicago, and I remember because Bill Buckner jumped all over my Cubs when a ball went through Leon Durham's legs in the 1984 playoffs, costing them the game. And that's who replaced Bill Buckner. So I thought it was poetic justice, albeit very sad poetic justice, because you never wish that on anybody. But
no,
my retroactive condolences. So, all right.
Thank
so
you.
Are you from Boston, Barry?
I'm from Worcester.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Very nice.
So that's just 40 miles west of Boston.
Boston's a great comedy town. I'm excited to, I'm even more excited to meet you now. All right. So you were kind of kidding, but is there some truth to the mustards talking to you?
Oh, yeah. There's absolute truth to that, because that's the night. It was October 28th, 1986, that I started collecting mustards. So
no kidding.
I did. Now, I didn't quit right away. But I got another sign 6 months later. I was arguing a case at the U.S. Supreme Court, and I did it with a jar of mustard in my pocket, because I had found a jar on a discarded room service tray. And I didn't have time to look it up to research the issue. So I think I did what every good lawyer would do. I took it. I just took it.
I have so many lawyers in my family, and I guarantee you they're going to hear this interview. I love this. All right. So that's kind of a cool thing that maybe something Atticus Finch never could have said, that he argued with a mustard in his pocket. But so did even before you had this epiphany, I assume you were a fan of mustard as a condiment.
Yeah, I did. I loved mustard in cream sauces, obviously on hot dogs and bratwurst.
Yeah.
Because mustard goes well with just about everything.
Agreed. And coming from, I was the first part of my childhood was spent in Chicago, where you do not even talk about putting ketchup on a hot dog. It's all mustard.
No.
And, you know, mustard is low cal. If you eat it in its purest form, I don't think it has any calories. It's kind of healthy, right?
Yeah, it is very healthy. So mustard is definitely a good alternative to the K word, right?
So,
and also, did you know that according to the National Condiment Research Council, ketchup, the annual report that came out about 2 weeks ago, ketchup is now the leading cause of childhood stupidity in America.
Conrad, you need to do some research, please. Take a memo. Get the director of the National Ketchup Museum on our list. We have to have him on the show. So, all right. Well, that's great stuff. And I, you know what? Listen, a lot of ketchup has high fructose corn syrup. You might be right about that, for all I know. But how do you go from Worcester to finding your spot in Middleton? Such a Madison is such a great town, a great area. How did you end up there just to take that job?
No, I went to law school here in Wisconsin.
Okay.
So, in fact, even though I no longer practice law, I teach food law at the University of Wisconsin Law School.
Oh, fantastic.
It's fun. It's just fun.
I bet it is. My guest is Barry Levinson. He is the curator of the National Mustard Museum right here in Middleton, Wisconsin. And he is joining us over the stream here on Nightlight tonight. All right, I have to ask you, during the break, we were pretty excited to have you on because we haven't talked about really condiments in general on the show since I've been doing this for a year and a half. Conrad said he was in Door County recently and had a cherry honey mustard, and I almost just put up a sign here and went to a replay to go taste that. It sounded so good. What is your favorite kind of mustard, Barry?
Well, I love Dijon mustards, good, strong Dijon mustards, but I like brown mustards. You know, I like just about all mustards. You know, there are 18 categories of mustard at the Worldwide Mustard Competition, and I love them all.
Do you eat them daily? Do you have mustard on just about everything, or am I just getting crazy now?
Okay. I do. Yeah, every day. And we've got National Mustard Day coming up on Saturday. Yeah,
I know. August 2nd, that's going to be a lot. What do you guys do at the National Mustard Museum for National Mustard Day?
Well, we've got mustard ice cream.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And it sold out the last 3 years. So the same flavor is coming back, and it's a raspberry honey mustard with little chips of chocolate in it.
That actually sounds pretty good, I have to say.
It is really good. Also, we've got Gorman Thomas. Do you remember Gorman?
Sure, Stormin' Gorman.
Stormin' Gorman, and he's going to be here because he makes a sauce. He won a silver medal at the Worldwide Mustard Competition with his sauce. So he's going to be here. We've got mustard ice cream, of course. We've got Usinger's hot dogs from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Also bratwurst. We've got live music all day. And we've got mustard games for kids of all ages.
You're trying to hook them young, aren't you, Barry?
Yeah, we are trying to hook them. Yeah.
So, all right, on a day that's not National Mustard Day, what can people expect? How much time do they need to go to the Mustard Museum? I'm sure that's an easy, you know, they can spend 5 minutes or 2 hours, but what's that experience like? And what, you as curator, what are you hoping they walk away with? Just a bigger love of mustard, tons of products. What's that visit like?
Well, in the gift shop, which is separate from the nonprofit museum, but you can taste hundreds of mustards. Probably about 80 different mustards at a given time. And also, you're going to see the world's largest collection of mustards. We have over 7,000 different mustards from all around the world.
That's incredible. Have you ever been tempted to make your own? Or have you?
Oh, yeah, I've done it. Okay. I've done it.
Sure. Is it hard? Is it a hard process to...
No. No, it's not. It's really not a hard process, although the skill of the mustard maker is really crucial. So, I mean, there can be just ordinary mustards, but a really good mustard is really a thing to behold.
That's so interesting. It immediately made me think of like a sommelier or just someone who's into wine. Like, can someone like you, who's an aficionado about mustard, go back to just basic yellow mustard, or do you have to have more nuanced mustards in your, you know, for your palate or someone of your sophisticated knowledge of mustard?
Well, when I go to the ballpark, and I often do because I'm still a fan of baseball, but the first thing I have to do is get a hot dog with yellow mustard, hold it up to the sky. I just look at it, and it just brings me home.
That's so great.
You know, yellow mustard is not something I look down on. In fact, okay. French is a supporter of the nonprofit Mustard Museum.
No kidding. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, just to go on record here, your Red Sox and my Cubs eventually redeemed themselves in the big game since that horrible 86. In fact, I think the Red Sox have won two or three, right, since then?
Yeah, I think they've won three. And I'm also have to report to you that the Red Sox beat the Twins today 13-1.
Okay. Well, as long as we're on the topic of baseball, you mentioned Gorman Thomas. There's a great documentary called Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. I don't know if you've seen it, but they were such a fun
team. I have.
Yeah, we've had the filmmakers on quite a bit. It's such a great great documentary. So, all right, I'm glad you saw that. What talk a little bit about your award winners that you have, like, and what flavors are they?
Well, we've got honey mustards, sweet hot mustards, yellow mustards. We've got fruit mustards, herb mustards, exotic mustards, like we could have Dijon mustards flavored with truffles, for example, which is quite elegant. We've been holding the Worldwide Mustard Competition every year since 1995. And there are now 18 categories of mustard. And the judges, which are made up of food writers, chefs, and mustard aficionados like me,
wow.
Although I don't judge them because I know too many of them just by tasting. So, you know, that's a curse for me. But, you know, this year's chef or grand prize winner was made in Finland. Last year, it was made in Argentina. So mustard is really universal.
It's making me want mustard right now. This whole talk is just exceptional. Thank you so much for your time. Barry, I have to ask you, I ask a lot of the guests we have on the show, we've got a minute or so left.
Sure.
What do you watch on TV? Are you binge watching anything you could recommend?
Am I binge watching? You know, I tune in occasionally to MSNBC, which is kind of my favorite station.
Sure.
And so I'm trying to think if I binge watch anything. I don't really, because I'm kind of preoccupied with mustard, which is terrible. I know
no,
that.
No, it's fantastic. You got to make a documentary. Thank you so much for your time tonight, Barry. I heard from one of my coworkers, John Scott, this mustard guy, great guest. And I totally agree with him. Thank you so much for your time and have a great National Mustard Day.
Okay. And hasta la mustard.
All right. All right. That's Barry Levinson. No relation. Check out the National Mustard Museum, folks, in Middleton, Wisconsin. It is a treasure. And have a safe National Mustard Day, whatever you do, folks. We're coming back to wrap things up and maybe play something funny. That's next.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
That sound? It's your recycling at work. And you can thank a Wisconsin woman for making it happen. Millie Zantow saw a waste sorting system in Japan during a trip in the 1970s. She came home to Prairie du Sac in Sauk County inspired. Her research led to the triangle-numbered plastic recycling system we still use today. So can you guess what percent of all the plastics produced in the United States ends up being recycled? 75%? 25%? Or 5%? The answer coming up. Zantow also helped with Wisconsin's recycling laws, along with the opening of one of the first collection centers. But now, are you surprised to learn the answer is just 5% of plastics are recycled? It's according to the group Beyond Plastic. Yet Zantow always believed you don't have to be perfect. You just have to start. There's a smart slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
All right. Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwab. This is a fun show. We talked movies, music, and mustard. And we hit Milwaukee, Northeast Wisconsin, and Madison. That is a show. And I'm glad I was able to do that on a night when one of my superiors is here. And he joins us now. A superior at work, Aaron. I'm not saying in every aspect of life, but you're a pretty good guy. Aaron Carena joins me now here to help me wrap things up.
I mean, hey, I fill in for you. So I like to do you a solid favor. I've done it once. I may
sure
do it again.
Do.
You know, it's just, I'm looking at the question of the night, your least favorite vegetable that you like now. Can someone give me some clarity? Is a squash, is that a vegetable or fruit?
Man. I think it's a vegetable. I know an avocado is considered a fruit.
What's AI say about it?
Conrad,
it says it's classified as a fruit.
Okay,
come on,
there you go.
But typically treated as a vegetable. It says in culinary context.
Well, tomato's a fruit. If it has a seed, right? It's a fruit. I think that's the way it goes.
Well, put it this way: I still don't like it.
Well, you're under no obligation to like any of this stuff. But I kind of wanted you to come on the show and just as a voucher for me that I'm not crazy. That someone that just doesn't like soup, it's just not normal.
I have no idea what's wrong with this guy. I was driving up here and I heard that. I was like, now I'm coming in.
Yeah.
Now I want to get more clarity off air and right now. Why? Did you have a bad batch?
I think don't like when stuff gets soggy inside the soup.
Well, it's soggy. It's liquid.
I don't know.
I like my soups to be firm and hard.
Play-Doh.
I just don't like, you know, it tastes like drinking like water with like, I don't know,
no, wait
seasonings
a minute.
In it.
You don't even like dipping like a baguette into the soup and then taking a big bite?
I'll do it in broccoli cheddar.
Oh, man. So
chicken noodle. It's just a little bit of tomato bisque.
I don't like the fruit in chicken noodle soup. Or fruit.
The fruit. The fruit.
Vegetable. No wonder you don't.
Oh, we got some work to do on this
vegetable
guy.
Vegetable, I meant.
Well, you've been misled about soup, Conrad, this entire time.
So, Aaron, this is cool. This is a nice surprise to have you here. You had a good vacation last week. You were at Red Rocks, right?
I was for a night.
Okay.
And then my partner and I do like a solo. We do like solo trip once a year to clear the brain and just kind of relax. Yeah. So I went up to Calgary.
Really?
Yeah, it was
beautiful.
Fun.
It's supposed to be beautiful.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah, especially this time of year, probably.
I loved it because on Monday I woke up and I was getting ready to go to the airport and it says, United has canceled your flight. I went, awesome. I got another day here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's kind of been called the Wisconsin of Canada, if I'm not mistaken. Does that sound, I just made that up, but is it?
Believe it or not, it's not. It's actually what the locals call is, it's like your Texas is our Alberta.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's got a lot of, they got the Stampede up there. So there's like some cowboy culture and that type of thing. The poutine is the same everywhere. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people walking around in hats and boots and they like the Flames. I'm more of a Canucks, but that's all right.
But it's mountainous too, right?
It is. Yeah, Banff.
Yeah, Banff.
Lake Louise, you know, they're about an hour and a half away. I didn't end up doing that because I'm not like a hiker. I'm like a city guy. So, but it was still fun. I had a great time.
That's fantastic. Is it hard to come back to work after you've been gone that long? Sometimes it's like, oh, like even when I think I've only taken a couple days off. Although last summer I took like 5 days off and I was like, I got back and I'm like, how do I do this again? Like it really does clear your brain. It's kind of a good thing.
I did feel pretty refreshed, but I was so tired yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm just not good on planes sleeping. Yeah. I can't do it. I can have a glass of wine. I can watch How I Met Your Mother for the 80th time, but I can't do anything else.
See, that's Conrad's favorite show. He does have some redeeming qualities.
Is that really your favorite
show? My favorite show of all time, yeah.
So we have one thing.
There we go. That's something to build on. Folks, this has been a fun night. I've got two great guests tomorrow. This is a Civic Media All-Star, and it's All-Star show tomorrow, and it's kicked off here with Aaron's appearance, surprise appearance here at WGBW. But tomorrow night, I've got Jimmy, Civic Media Sports Director.
Yep.
We know him as Jimmy Cuska, making the popcorn pick of the week. Jimmy will give us a movie recommendation, which I'm sure will be fantastic because he has great taste in movies, whether they're kids' movies he watches with his family or his own movies. And then from Matt and Aaron Air, Greg Bach will be here at 7:20 to talk some comedy and movies. Greg also owns a comedy club. You ever been there?
No, I haven't. That's a great show, by the way.
Yeah, I think
tomorrow
so
night. You got to ask Jimmy about his collectibles. Because I'm on Zoom calls with him. I always ask him, did you move those things around since the last call?
Right.
What do you got going on back there?
I love, Jimmy comes on, and the last time he was here, I think, we were talking about The Boys. He was really into that show. Which I could kind of, I think it started strong, but I could have taken or left it by the end of it. But Jimmy, he's very knowledgeable, and Greg knows comedy, knows movies, and does a great job with Jane. So
he is.
Should be a fun
great
show.
People.
Yeah,
we're very fortunate to have him.
I totally agree. And then Friday, folks, we've got a bar band Friday night coming up, and Spencer Young
from Forever Young Designs.
Tell the fine people, our listeners, if you can quickly, and Aaron, what Spencer does.
Well,
it's kind of cool.
If you go down Lombardi Avenue during the season, you'll see those fences that are painted.
Yeah.
He does some of those fences. He paints them.
Not graffiti either. He's hired to do the work.
Yeah, he's hired to do it. It looks fantastic all the time. He also does some other art, like he does a lot of shoes for players, stuff like that. So it's really cool.
Does he come up with a slogan, or does he just slap the paint on? Because either way, that's quite the amount of work.
Oh, yeah.
Like, to be that finite in the...
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Especially painting cleats. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah. It's such a small surface to paint on, you know?
You know, I noticed you played the Kalen Cole song before.
Yeah.
Kudos on the bumper. I did ask you to do that, but next time we got to make sure we have enough. That's such a great song.
It is.
We've got to find out. You got to give me a sign and say, Schwabba, shut your trap a few seconds early so we can hear more of Kalen Cole. Aaron, it was great seeing you. I will see you tomorrow morning. Fun to have you in
town. See you in the morning. I'll be listening tomorrow night. I won't be here, though.
Oh, well, hopefully we'll make your ride back a little better.
You got it, man. Thanks, guys.
Thank you to Matt Miller. Thank you to Kim Mothy and Barry Levinson at the National Mustard Museum. Have a safe National Mustard Day, folks. I can't stress that enough. It's August 2nd. We'll be back tomorrow night on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin. Oh,
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Arkansas police have charged a 28-year-old school teacher in the killing of a married couple who were hiking with their two daughters at a state park. Investigators caught up with Andrew James McGann at a barber shop in a city near the park. They still haven't revealed how the couple died or a possible motive in the killings. A New York City police officer who was among four people fatally shot in a Midtown Manhattan office building this week is being laid to rest today. Officer Didarul Islam was the gunman's first victim in the lobby of that Park Avenue building. Democrats and Republicans not giving up on having all the information in the Epstein files be made public.
I do know many Republicans who have been talking about this and looking for transparency for the American people. I'm going to work with those people to continue to try to provide that and believe the administration is as well.
Alabama GOP Senator Katie Britt, Canada, the latest country to announce it will recognize Palestinian statehood if a ceasefire in Gaza isn't announced soon. This is ABC News.